Okay, so now I was talking about the voice pattern, and what we're going to be dealing with today is the voice pattern. Everyone has one. They have that includes their accent, from what part of the country they're in, etc. And usually this pattern is developed in childhood unconsciously, and a lot of our attitudes are carried in our voice pattern. Oftentimes we don't even realize what attitudes we're putting out. So if we talk softly, or I had one woman say that her voice is just a turn off to other people. This is one of the questions that was sent in. How can I change it? Other people, I think I'm talking very loudly, and yet people tell me I'm talking very softly. I talk too fast. My voice is too flat and weak, etc., etc. Well, now they're beginning to become conscious of it, because for some reason in business, usually in a performance review or another place such as that, someone has said something to them about their voice. They don't sound assertive. They talk too fast. No one can actually get what they're saying down in their notes. And then there is the issue oftentimes that somebody will have attention deficit disorder, and even though they're taking their medicine, etc., they can't reduce the speed of their voice. So, again, changing a pattern is not difficult at all. It just takes a little discipline and practice and awareness. So, and sometimes coaching, it just depends on whether you can do it by yourself or not. Now, in relationship to the law of attraction, I think it's quite obvious that if you're sounding defensive, say, and I'll just say this, generally speaking, a lot of people in Brooklyn, you know, the old funny, so why did you ask me that? You know, this type of thing, when people are talking in this kind of a voice tone and using these kinds of words, it comes across as a defensive pattern. So what you do is you attract back other people who are defensive, or reactions to defensiveness, because your voice sound or your tone of voice is coming across in a certain kind of way. So when you talk about the law of attraction, your voice is 55% of your communication in a face-to-face communication, and over the telephone, it's an 80% of your communication. And so what you're sending out there is what you're going to attract back. This is why I'm always saying that your voice really is a huge part of the law of attraction, as would be your body language. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Your voice is 35% of your law of attraction, or of your communication, and your body language is 55% when you're in face-to-face, and then your words are only 10%. And most of us, you know, depend on our words, but unfortunately, if our voice does not support the words and our body language does not support it, then we have real miscommunication. And I believe, Jenny, you probably understand that, being in the communication field, and others of you have probably heard that before. So the voice is a vital part of what you attract to you. It's not just the words you say, but how you say them that's so important. And your voice is actually an energy form that goes out into the world. It carries your energy. So if I sound very quiet, I'm going to sound like I'm not that what? Confident, persuasive, etc. So I'd like to do a few group exercises, and I'm hesitant to come off of mute here. So let's just try to do this again on mute for the time being. I'd like you to stop, and if you have a pencil, to take a moment and write down 6 adjectives that you would like to sound like. I would like a voice that sounds. And write down 6 of them, and then I'll take us off of mute and we'll read them aloud. So that might be confident, persuasive, dynamic, captivating, energetic, enthusiastic, trustworthy, credible, knowledgeable, authoritative. All right, I'm going to go off of mute and see what we have. Hello?
Hello.
Hello. Who is first? Who would like to just read them out loud? Because the more you affirm them out loud, this is what you're going to attract, right? We want to attract. Make a conscious decision. Terry?
I want to sound more melodic, intelligent, energetic, enthusiastic, confident, and knowledgeable.
Good. Next person.
Vera. I wrote confident, loving, energetic, honest, knowledgeable.
Good. Can I interrupt here? Is there someone who is on a cell phone or on a speakerphone?
I'm on a speakerphone, but I don't have any noise in the background.
Neither
okay.
do I. There was a gentleman whose name I didn't catch. It was sort of a foreign sounding name. It sounded like maybe when he was speaking, there was a lot of background noise.
Is this Niraj?
Niraj. Okay.
Hello. Yes, I am on, but I can mute it every time.
So can you mute your phone or after you've told us your voice image?
Well, actually, I've muted it the whole time. So I don't know what else.
So it's not you, right?
Correct.
Okay. Is anybody else on a speakerphone where there's background?
I am. Kathy, I'm on a speakerphone on my cell phone, but I muted it and still could hear the noises.
Wow. Okay. Well, let's go. Who is the next person with their voice image? Peter?
Yes, hi. I came up with five. Powerful, confident, and integrity.
Powerful, confident, what was the next one?
There's a lot of background noise. Can you
I
hear
know,
me?
Know, it's...
Hello?
Hello, I don't know what it's coming from, and I feel so bad about that. I don't know if it's my phone, or I don't think it's my phone, but... And we've gone through every person, haven't we, Jenny?
Right, I'm sitting in my home, and I'm not
right,
on a
Right, me too.
Phone.
Terry?
Yes, it's quiet here.
David?
Yes, it's fine here.
Yeah, you're not... And Niraj?
Yeah, I'm constantly on mute 80% of the time, but I don't
right.
know where that is.
And Cassie?
I just took mine off of speakerphone, and it seems to be quieter, so possibly it was my phone.
I think
right.
I think the noise...
Yes, it sounds better.
Yeah,
well,
okay,
no,
I'm
you
off
know,
of that.
I appreciate it, Cassie. No problem at all. Okay, Peter, now you had what down?
Okay, got powerful, confident, knowledgeable, dynamic, and integrity.
Fantastic. All right, Cassie, yours?
Musical, assertive, inviting, and fluent.
Wonderful. Jenny?
Confident, energetic, articulate, knowledgeable, engaging, strong.
David?
Hi. I have energetic, dynamic, confident, melodic, knowledgeable, and okay. Oh, it's those are the five I have.
Fantastic. And Niraj?
Yeah, energetic, compelling, certain, flexible, credible, and I guess clear is the most important.
Fantastic. Okay.
And this is Marlene. I joined in late.
Oh, Marlene, great. Well, what I was asking is for people to write down five adjectives.
I've got that. Confident, comfortable, trusting, engaging, and powerful.
Fantastic. So now we can hear that each person has a different way they want to go out into the world and what they want to attract back to them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So that's great. Whoever just went on and off there, it's absolutely quiet on the line, which is marvelous. So I'm not going to put us on mute. I'm just going to head on because I like the interaction. And if we have to go back to mute, well, then we'll do that. So we want to stay with this concept. And if I'm working with people, like coaching them, or if you're working with the CDs that I have to sell, and or in a small group teleclass, we always start with this is where we're going. And then all the technique that we learn, which is to speak at 145 words a minute, which is how fast you should be speaking. The range is 120 to 160. And you can test that. I'll tell you how to do that right now. You can test that by putting a stopwatch on for 1 minute, reading aloud from any book, magazine, etc., and going back and counting every word. And if you're speaking or reading at a certain rate, you can be sure that you're speaking at least 5, maybe 7 points above that. Most people speak faster than they read. So you want to be able to do it over and over again until you can actually feel and hear, not unlike working with a metronome when you're on a learning to play the piano or any kind of instrument, to get your rhythm, to know what your speed is. And why do we speak at 145 words a minute? Because we are trying to allow time for the person who's listening to us, and we often forget about the person who's listening to us, to absorb what you have said. It's very important. And a lot of people in our culture just speak at the speed of light. I mean, they're amazed. One woman actually who just signed up tested herself, and she was up at 205 words a minute. I couldn't believe it. So, okay, now what we have is that we're creating a kind of voice image that we want to put out there that attracts back what we want, whether it be a new job, we're going into interviews, etc., whether we're trying to, I think one woman did say that it was very important for her voice to be engaging. I think all of us want to connect with other people through our voice, not just our words, but the way our words are colored. We want to connect so that we can, if we're going for job interviews, get a good job and get a job that we feel connected to and that we want to be with. People we want to be with. We want to get more money. We want to get better relationships, etc. Using your voice and having control of your voice allows you to put out to other people what you want to put out there. So now, I'm going to stop for a moment. Are there any questions on what I've said so far?
No. What would be an example of speaking too slowly?
Well, is this Kathy, the person from the South?
Kathy.
Okay. I guess it would be someone who talks like this. You see?
And are you going to be speaking about how to fix that?
Well, yes, I can address that question. All right. That wasn't on this list, but I can address that question. And since you're on the call, I will address it right now. There's something called phrasing and pacing. So what I would have that person read out loud again, do their testing, and then pick up the speed until they get to 140 or 145, because they're trying to pick up. Most people in our society are trying to slow down. Now, part of the way you slow down is to slow down is one thing, is to say all your words clearly. It takes time to pronounce words clearly and to pronounce the entire word. So instead of saying definitely, without any T, right, you have to say definitely, absolutely. And this takes time, and it slows you down. You also need to learn to breathe and support your voice, which allows you to create phrases. So with someone who speaks too slowly, I would encourage them to move their phrases more quickly. So first order of business is to have them read over and over again, faster and faster, until they actually hear it being at 140 words a minute or 145, right? And get comfortable with that. And then the more they read out loud at that speed, then it comes into their everyday speaking. That's the first thing I would do. If I was helping someone else, I was a lay person helping somebody else. Now, when it gets into phrasing, that gets a little more involved, and we have to go into coaching and breathing and other things of that nature, which I'm not going to go into detail right now until I answer everybody's questions, and then I'll go back. And you have to excuse me, I live in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and I'm suffering terribly from allergies, even with pills and cleaning out the sinuses and all of these things that one does to keep their voice clear. In the morning, we still have a little bit of phlegm. All right, so will you forgive me?
Absolutely.
Sure.
Thank you, thank you. Okay, so now we move on to, I'm going to do one of these live teleseminars once a month so that people can ask their questions, and the next one is going to be April 1st, again, the same time. It's always the first Wednesday of the month at the same time. So we, you can come back on with another question. You can spread the word, et cetera, that this is ongoing for people to ask their questions. Now, the first big question that I had, I put them into groups. A lot of people asked questions about being too loud or too soft. And so let's get in our mind what is the appropriate volume. And it's basically 2.5. And the way we figure that is we count from 1 to 5, going from a very quiet but audible 1 to a very loud 5. And then when we get to 3, we back down a little bit. So, for instance, I would say 1, 2, 3. And everybody recognizes 3 as being a little bit too loud, right? Now we back down and we go 2.5. And that's a good speaking voice. For the telephone, you might want to come down to a 2. But most of the time, people over 40, you know, and people who have their mind on 5,000 different things, in order to get through, you have to be at 2.5. So I just want to write that down for you, or let you know that, and you can write that down. You start with a quiet but audible 1. And then you go up a little bit to 2, and then up to 3, which is you'll recognize as being too loud, and then back off a little bit. The questions I got around the idea of loud and soft were, a man named Jerry, he says, my voice in my own head sounds terribly loud, and others tell me I'm very soft. If I was working with this man, the first thing I would say to him is, for whatever reason, you have been told to be quiet. Teachers do this. Parents do this. Example, I had a man who was the head of a financial institution who talked very quietly. It was really a detriment at luncheons and other places like this. And when we got into working with volume, it turned out that he had a mother who was an alcoholic. And every day of her, and no father, and every day he would hear, oh, sweetheart, sweetheart, don't talk so loud. Mama has a headache. So he learned to talk like this all the time and never raised his voice. And it never even dawned on him. I think he was like 50 years old when he came to me. And he never dawned on him how he had developed this habit and this had become part of his speech pattern. So I would then, in talking to people who say this kind of thing, I would try to unearth why they have the habit of talking soft. Why is there this discrepancy between what they think and hear in their own ears and what other people hear? Okay? And then another woman said to me, well, when I put enthusiasm and energy in my voice, I sound phony. Again, her own self-perceptions, right? Everybody has a voice pattern that they think is natural. Why is it natural? Just because they've been doing it all their life. It doesn't mean it's correct, it's good, it services them in their work or in their business, etc. So, there you have it. I mean, other people say to me, well, you know, it doesn't sound authentic. Again, what is authentic? It's what she is used to or he is used to. So, again, basic good speech. What are we using as a standard? Number one, being easily heard, being understood, talking at 145 words a minute, having a tone, as each of us has just put out our voice images, right? Having a tone that we feel that we have control over in most conversations, so that when someone pushes a button, a policeman stops you, and suddenly your voice gets up here like this, yes, sir, and everything gets very tight because we have a lot of anxiety. Or we're in a business meeting, and conflict arises, and I don't like conflict for whatever reason. Or I'm going to begin a conflict with the boss, and I have no control over my voice and the way I sound. So no matter what I say, I come across a certain way because of the way I sound. All right. Any questions so far? Comments? No? Thoughts? All right, here's another man. When I talk from my diaphragm, I feel like I'm yelling. In other words, when he uses his own real power, his breath, right? His voice is loud, and so he feels like he's yelling. In our society in America, people don't like to yell. They think that as soon as they yell or they talk loudly, it's associated with a negative emotion. Anger, rage, frustration, something like this. And I often mention, well, yes, but being loud is also associated with other big emotions like happiness and joy and excitement and enthusiasm. But in our country, oftentimes, these are not accepted. Other cultures, they are. So, that's another aspect of it. Now, another woman said when she's in a group, like, you know, on a round table where you have eight people around a big table with a centerpiece in it, and she's trying to project across the table, she can't be heard. Well, yeah. I wouldn't even attempt to project across the table. I would wait and get this person offline because it is very hard, especially if there's a lot of tables in the room and there's a lot of noise. And you do come across then of not projecting but yelling. Okay, so now that's the soft, loud situation. Let's go on to another question that was asked quite often, and that is how do I improve overall sound and clarity of my voice? How do I have more confidence and also persuasiveness in my voice so that I can overcome objections? These are two people who were in sales. Is anybody in sales here? No? All right. Well, I will go over it quickly because most people want to have more confidence, more dynamic, more persuasiveness in their voice. And this requires that you learn to support your voice with your breath. Most people talk off their vocal cords just like this, like I'm talking right now. And they don't take a breath and speak with the breath, so they support the sound. Singers know this, of course. They have to do it to sing. But most people who speak right off the vocal cords. So I'd like to go around the room and just practice this because I think it's a hard concept to wrap your mind around unless you actually try it once. So before we do that, I'd like everyone to just do the energy breath just to get us moving because I've been talking for a while now, but you've been listening. So what we're going to do is we're going to put our hand down halfway between our belly button and our breastbone, where our ribs come to a point at our breastbone, right halfway in the soft tissue. Has everyone found that? Okay. And what we're going to do is we're going to take a nice inhale through the nose. And you'll feel that expands, that area expands like a balloon. Now push in and exhale through the mouth. Good. Now let's go around the room one at a time. I want to hear you do that. Peter, we'll start with you. Inhale. Push in and exhale. Good. Jenny, inhale. Good. Terry. Good. David. Good. Niraj. All right. Did you do it, Niraj?
Yeah, yes, I did.
Okay, good. You're back on mute. Cassie? Good. And Vera? And Marlene? Good. So, you know, this is called diaphragmatic breathing, for lack of another term. You call it gut breathing, et cetera, but it's not off the vocal cords. Now what we're going to do is we're going to hiss. We're going to pretend we have a little straw, and it's fine. We'll just have this big hissing sound on the conference call. A straw in our mouth, and we're just going to hiss into the straw as long as we can. So we take a nice breath and hiss. Good. You have just made a sound on an exhale. So what you do is you take an inhale and you talk on the exhale. So I'm going to do it. I'm going to take an inhale, push in on my stomach gently and go, hello. And you hear the sound that comes out of me as opposed to hello, just right off the vocal cords. So I'll do it one more time. I take a breath and I go, hello. All right, everybody together, breathe and go.
Hello.
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 Good. One at a time. We're going to start with Marlene. Breathe.
Hello.
All right, now you're holding your breath. Do you hear that? Hello. Just let it go. Hello, right out at me.
Hello.
There you go. Much better. Cassie.
Hello.
All right, you're listening to yourself. Do you hear that? Just do it. Hello, right out there.
Hello.
There's your energy. What a beautiful sound. Vera.
Hello.
Hello.
Lovely. Jenny.
Hello.
Mm-hmm. That was a little hello, a little high. Get in that gut. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Hello.
Hello.
There you go. Now you feel connected, right?
Okay.
Terry?
Hello.
Good. David?
Hello.
Good. Now, this is what David did, which is wonderful. You have this wonderful, resonant, low voice. Lovely tone. People like low voices because it caresses their ears. But this is what I heard. Hello, and then you went in the back of your throat. This is another rule for everybody. Your voice, your energy, your life force, which is what attracts other people to you, has got to die in the ear of the listener, not in the back of your throat. So we go, hello, and that has to die out in their ear, their mind, their heart, their imagination. So, again, David, nice breath, and send it into our ears. Here we go.
Hello.
Oh, lovely. Aren't we all captivated now? We're going, who is this man? This could be Darth Vader, right? And Niraj? Here we go, Niraj. Niraj, I know you have to come off of mute. All right, maybe Niraj has left the call. I'm not sure, but we're going to go on. Okay, so what was I talking about right there? Does anybody remember? I just want to see if we're on target.
Using the diaphragm.
To sound more what?
Confident.
Confident, energetic, dynamic. All of these things, you can even put authoritative in that ball of wax, is because you take a breath and we talk with the exhale. So we say, hello, Helen. Everybody together, breath, and here we go.
Hello,
hello,
Helen.
Helen.
Right. Help Harry ho.
What? Home.
Help Harry Ho, H-O-E. okay?
Oh.
One at a time, just for fun. Help Harry Ho. And we're just going to take a breath and let it go out. Marlene, are you with me? Vera?
Help Harry Ho.
Cassie?
Help Harry Ho.
Good. Peter?
Help Harry Ho.
Jenny?
Help Harry Ho.
Terry?
Help Harry Ho.
David?
Help Harry Ho.
Good. Okay. So now we all sound energetic and confident and loud enough. We're all at 2.5 at least. Is anybody thinking, oh, I sound too loud? You can be honest. No.
No.
Good. No. So usually when we're using our real energy, our real breath, and we're really projecting our sound out there, and we're at 2.5, we sound enthusiastic, confident, and we attract other people. Most people want to be around an enthusiastic, confident, dynamic speaker, as evidenced by Obama, for instance. I mean, my business has increased tremendously because Obama speaks well. I have to tell you that. People call up and they say, I have learned from listening to Obama that speaking is vitally important, especially in this day and age. And someone actually said it earlier as we went around the room. So we're beginning to realize that what you say is important and how you say it is vitally important in connecting with other people and having a sense of community. Okay, so now we're going to move on to the next issue, which is clarity. Speaking clearly. We're at 145 words a minute. Part of the way we stay at 145 words a minute is to say our words clearly. So most of us run words together. We don't say the ends of our words. A lot of people in the South and other parts of the country, but I just happen to know in the South, ing is reduced to in, singing, dancing, ringing, etc., rather than singing, dancing, and ringing. So we need to say words very, very clearly. We can start with our own names to make sure we say those clearly. So I will give you a couple of, we're going to do a couple of what we call articulation exercises, all right, just to get our articulators moving. So we're going to say, paper puppy, paper puppy, paper puppy, paper puppy, four times in a row, as clearly as you can, making sure you don't go in the back of your throat and say paper puppy, but paper puppy, like little love arrows coming out of your mouth into the ear, be my ear for the time being. So we'll do it all together here, and we're going to do it at this speed. Paper puppy, paper puppy. Are you ready? Nice breath, and paper poppy, paper poppy, paper poppy, paper poppy,
paper poppy.
Good. Now we're going to say lemon liniment. And this is the idea of stressing the right syllable in a word. Liniment has three syllables. In English, you have to be able to hear 3 degrees of stress. All right? The heavy accent, the secondary accent, and then things that are thrown away in a word, so that the word has clarity. So most people go, liniment, right? And it just all run together. But it really is liniment. Hit heavy on the lin, mint is secondary, and the is thrown away. So let's go around the room. Peter, liniment.
I didn't hear you, sorry.
Liniment, L-I-N-A-M-E-N-T, M-I-N-T. You know, like the stuff you rub on your muscles?
Okay.
Say the word?
Liniment.
Liniment.
L-I-N-T-M-E-N-T?
L-I-N, liniment. L-I-N-A-M-I-N-T?
Okay. Liniment.
Good. I'm hoping that's how you spell it, right? Jenny?
Lemon liniment.
Good. Terry?
Liniment.
Good. David?
Liniment.
Good. Cassie?
Liniment.
Okay, now I hear liniment. I didn't hear enough. I want to hear liniment.
Liniment.
There you go, with a nice breath and hit that word clean. Vera.
Liniment.
And I think Marlene is no longer with us, right? No. Okay, good. So, in diction, what we're dealing with is making sure we say all of the word, especially the end of the word, and that we have the heavy stress on whatever syllable it's supposed to be on, so that words are not run together. Okay? And that we are speaking clearly. So if we go back to help Harry Ho, we are saying help with a P. We're saying Harry, not Harry. People from the South go Harry, right? Southern people, huh? What, Cassie?
No, I said not me.
Okay, good, very good, very good. All right, very good. Okay, so that's the rules for clarity and speaking with the breath for confidence. And then the last thing people asked me to address was, why does my throat get tired, you know, when I speak for a long period of time? And that is because you're not used to speaking correctly with the breath and enunciating and keeping the voice forward out of the back of the throat. So that's the answer to that question. Now, another one that was asked a lot was filler words. Does anybody have trouble with filler words?
Like and
Ah. Does anybody else have any other favorites other than like? No? Okay. How do we correct this? Number one, we become aware that we are doing it. And as soon as we start to hear ourselves doing it, we stop and we breathe. You take a breath. Most people say, because they're afraid if they stop talking, the person who's listening will stop listening. Or because they're trying to bridge between two thoughts. It's perfectly permissible to just take a breath, gather your thought, and move forward. No one likes to listen to someone say, well, today we're going to talk about, now the Dow has gone up 750, I mean, I was listening this morning to the news, and the man on NBC was reading off information, and he must have said, I don't know, at least 5 to 6 ahs between all his numbers. And I would have fired him for that if I was on, you know, the head of the, I mean, it's just ridiculous. And this is a man on the news. So the idea is you just simply breathe, say it. Is that the other thing you can think of is breathe and pause, the dramatic pause. All right. Then let's see. My last question was, some man asked, I thought this is very interesting, and Niraj asked this, actually. In a digital world, is tonal and projection, your tone and your ability to project, still relevant? So I'm going to throw that out for you to answer. I, of course, am going to say yes. I'm a voice teacher, right? But what do you think? So let's go around the room and let's hear you use your voice. Project. Breathe. Say your words clearly. Who wants to start? Dear me. Terry? Is it still relevant in a digital world to be able to speak well?
I think it is extremely relevant because it is the projection that you put out into the business world, and it does allow you to connect with others. And if you're not projecting correctly and comfortably, people will notice it in your tone, and you will look less confident or sound less knowledgeable. So I think it is extremely important to project the right tone.
I didn't hear one ah or there. She spoke clearly. Good work, Terry.
Thank you.
You're welcome. David, what do you think?
I Yes, I think it's absolutely essential to speak and be able to project your voice with a strong quality tone. Does not matter what type of environment that you're in. It's all about the communication between you and the other party.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Who wants to go next, or should I just pick somebody? Vera from Hope, Idaho. I love that place.
Yes, I believe projection and tone are really important because digital has nothing to do with what you are saying. It's the voice is only 35%, the body is 55%, the words are 10%, but the voice is more important than the words. So I believe projection and tone are important.
Thank you. Cassie?
Yes, projection and tone are absolutely essential in the electronic and digital age, perhaps more so because we speak so much, we speak fewer times, and so when we do, we need to make much more of an impact.
You almost had an ah there. Is that what happened?
I oops, because I said
That's okay, but you caught it, and that's the first level. That's fantastic. So we have Jenny and Peter.
This is Peter. I believe it is very critical to project a good voice, and because a lot of people judge us by the way we talk.
Mm-hmm. And Peter, where are you from?
Where am I from, meaning Los Angeles or where I was born?
Where you were born, your accent?
I was born in Malaysia.
Right. And yet, yeah, and you speak fluently two languages, correct?
Yes.
And yet you are speaking very clearly. I want to compliment you. And you know, when people speak different languages and they have accents from foreign countries, I always say you don't need to get rid of the accent. You just have to be able to be easily and readily understood by the people or the environment that you're working in, whatever that may be. And I did have a man, for instance, a VP at Hewlett-Packard who spoke five languages. He was head of international sales. And he mumbled in all of those languages. He did. He did. I couldn't believe it. He spoke, Spanish, French, English, Polish, and I've forgotten the other language. And you know, and he had to use them, all of them, in his work. So we made sure that, you know, he enunciated. And just the concept of enunciation is what's important. You don't have to have it, you know, the vowel said absolutely correctly, but just so that the American, if you're talking in America, their ear can understand you. So I wanted to throw that out there for you, Peter, and also to bring that point out for other people on the call. Jenny, how about you and your ideas about digital?
Absolutely. I think that tone and projection are essential. And I would argue that even though the technology has changed, the basis of communication is still the same. And so it's even more important to really be clear, be confident, be compelling.
Thank you. I think everybody on this call has, like, we have maybe 15 minutes left, and I don't even know if I'll take us that long unless you have something you really want to talk about. But everybody on this call has raised the quality of their voice very quickly. With, you know, it's dramatically changed. I think everybody had good voices, but now you're more aware that you have to breathe, you have to talk on the exhale, you have to enunciate your words clearly, you have to speak at 145 words a minute, right? I'm reiterating these so that if you want to write them down. And at 2.5 volume, so people can hear you, and you get through the din, other people's din, as I call it, their screens that they're listening to you through. Now, the last thing that I'd like to bring up is the concept of trailing off. I'm going to go so far as to say that this is a sin, and I'm not terribly religious, I don't mean it, but this is what people do because they're talking fast or because they are their minds are going on to the next idea. They go, "Hi, my name is Sandra McKnight, and I'm going to talk about voice and how voice can change your life." You hear how I've thrown away the end of each one of those phrases? Can you hear it?
Yes.
All right. You get three of those, and then people stop listening to you. Because what happens is I start with a good energy, and then I trail off because my mind now goes to my next thought, and people go, what was the end of that? And they start on an unconscious level to lose interest in what you're saying. They start to project some negative feeling on what you're saying. Oh, he's bored. Oh, he's bored with me. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He's a little hesitant, etc. So we never want to trail off. That doesn't mean we are all like Valley Girls. I mean, we're not going up. So, hi, my name is Sandra McKnight. And da-da-da-da-da, we've all heard that, haven't we? Mm-hmm. I've even heard men do this upon occasion, but certainly women. We just want to keep the volume up, the energy up under it. So it's, hello, my name is Sandra McKnight. I've gone down in pitch, but I haven't gone, hello, my name is Sandra McKnight. And just trailed off. So I'd like everyone, we're going to go around the virtual room again as we end this, and we're going to say, hello, my name is, and we're going to start with a high note, I mean lots of energy on a higher note, and go down to a lower note. Hello, I'm up here, right? My name is Sandra McKnight. Ba, 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 ba. So I've gone from a high note to a low note throughout the sentence, but I have not dropped my energy. Does everyone understand?
Yes.
Okay. So let's start this time with David.
Hi. My name is David Smith.
Good. Next. Vera?
Oh, sorry. Hello. My name is Vera Gadman.
Okay. It's a little bit like I wasn't sure that was your name. Vera,
you know,
Gadman?
I was thinking when you said, I'm sorry to interrupt. I was thinking
no.
When you said when you trail off, I see myself doing this, and I always think it's because I'm not believing what I'm actually saying, and you just confirmed that. I don't think my name is Vera Gadman.
You're teasing. Certainly you're teasing. Certainly you, Jeff.
Oh, that's
funny. But, you know, we don't want to get in the habit of going up, you know. You're not Jewish, right, from New York something or other, right?
Well, actually I am, but there you go.
Oh, you are? Okay, because that is part of their accent,
yeah.
You know, to go up like that. And so you want to not always telegraph that accent, all right? So, hello, my name is Vera Gadman. Let's go down to a period, to a full stop, to a lower pitch, but not trail off. Let's hear what that is.
Hello, my name is Vera Gadman.
Lovely. All right. You have a very strong voice. I would like to hear a little more changing in pitches for you, but it's very strong. It's very good. Okay, who's next? Cassie?
Hello, my name is Cassandra Woodhouse.
Okay, now Woodhouse is back in the back of your throat. Put it in my ear. Cassandra who?
Woodhouse.
Woodhouse. Say the S.
Woodhouse.
Good. So, hello. Nice breath. Right into my ear. Come on, right off the box.
Hello, my name is Cassandra Woodhouse.
Lovely. Peter? Are you still with me, Peter? Maybe not. Jenny?
Hello, my name is Jenny McMahon.
Lovely, you're Irish as I am. And Terry?
Hello, my name is Terry McCain.
Another Irish woman, right? All right, marvelous. I'm going to stop and see if there's anything anybody wants to ask me or any comments. Did you feel that this was helpful to you, etc.? And then I think we've come to the end.
Andrew, this is Vera. I think this was marvelous. I learned so much in this hour. I can't believe it. I'm excited to start using all of these tips.
Good, good.
Yes, thank you very much for offering this.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Sandra, this is Jenny. I second and third that. Very helpful.
Good. David, do you feel so?
Yes, absolutely, Sandra.
Good, good.
100%.
All right. So the last question that was asked to me was, is there any relationship between diet and good voice? And there is. If you want to maintain less phlegm in your on your vocal cords and in your post-nasal drip, etc., you can stop taking so many dairy products and milk products before you would have to give a good speech, a big speech, etc. Also, red wine, for whatever reason, is worse than white wine in terms of antihistamines and things that occur in your sinal cavities. Eating things that have a lot of yeast in them also produces a lot of phlegm. Of course, smoking cigarettes, you know, that kind of thing, making sure that you sleep with humidifiers in your room. Actually, I have a whole list of what we call tips for good vocal health. And as I said in the beginning, I do sell CDs, which go into much more detail. They're $49 plus $5 shipping. And you can also download them off of the website. So these things are available if you'd like to continue to practice and have some tools to practice with. And lastly, I'd like to say that I, in May, am going to start the Voice Power Studios online Voice University. So I will be doing teleclasses of small groups of six on voice. We'll do our basic voice class first, which would just be more detailed work in breathing and diction and working personally one-on-one with people. And that class will go for four classes in a row and cover a month's time and be a very reasonable price. So I just wanted to let you know of those things coming up. Please spread the word if other people would like to come to this class next or to this live free seminar with questions next month. You'll be hearing about it. I feel sure that the autoresponder will send out a note. And I thank you so much for being on the call.
Thank you very much, Sandra.
Thank you.
Welcome. All the best.
You too.
All the best.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
This conference is no longer being